Dr. Emmanuel, it's great to see you again. I'm curious just to get your thoughts on what Anjali was just talking about, because it seems like there is still this issue about whether or not most Americans even need boosters. And then, of course, the issue of the timing of potentially getting one. But from your perspective, I guess, what do you think makes the most sense at this point in the pandemic?
Well, first of all, a lot of people think using the term booster is a problem, that really this should be more looked on as a third dose, that to really complete the immune response, you don't need just two doses, but you need a third dose. We went with two doses, and we went with two doses spaced very, very closely, 3 weeks and 4 weeks apart, because we were rushing to get a vaccine out. But that didn't fully test when you maximize the immune response of people. We know that in children and for other vaccines, we spread out sometimes two, sometimes three doses. And this may be a case where what we're really seeing is not that we need a booster, but that we need three doses to complete the immune response of people. And I think that's partially what the FDA is going to be looking at, and what also the Advisory Committee on Immunization Policy to the CDC will be looking at.
I want to get your thoughts on specifically that third, if it's just a three dose course, what happens after that when it comes to, you know, some of the ideas that maybe this is going to be an annualized need for vaccines? You know, companies are already working on a dual flu and COVID shot. So what happens to that if we end up finding out that it's just a third shot and that's it?
Well, in some ways, that would be good news, right? It's just a third shot. And then you can say, maybe not get a booster for 5 years or 10 years like you do with other shots, or the shingles, it's two shots. And, you know, as far as we can tell, it's very protective for about a decade. I actually think a three shot regimen without annual the need for an annual booster would be a very good news in terms of that's what you need. And then we can really get the U.S. population covered. And not have to redo it each year. Redoing it each year is hard. Remember, we get about 45% of the population vaccinated against flu every year. And that's not going to be enough, as we well know, to really maintain the immunity. So let's hope that this is durable.
I want to switch directions and talk about the vaccine passport. Very controversial issue is Florida, which has banned the vaccine passport, is now going to, impose $5,000 fines for businesses that avoid this ban, or I guess declare that they're not going to abide by it. This is a lightning rod issue if I've ever seen one. I'm just wondering what your thoughts on it are.
Well, I've been for vaccine passports. I think having electronic certification that people can use is going to be important. I think we're going to progress to a situation where to get on an airplane, you're going to have to show you're vaccinated. To get into various activities that have large crowds, you're going to have to show you're vaccinated. You know, my university, the University of Pennsylvania, staff need to attest that they've been vaccinated, faculty and students. And so having an electronic passport or certification, more accurately, that you can use if you want, you don't want to use it, you don't have to access it, is, I think, going to be important. And you've already got some major states doing this and adopting it. And I think people who want to use it can avail themselves. They've got some very good security measures in it. And I think, like many things, Governor DeSantis has been a little behind the eight ball in his response. Here, he hasn't been good on the vaccinations. He hasn't been good on the masking issue. And I think this is just another one of those cases where, for political reasons, not for health reasons, he's suggesting don't have vaccine certification. Remember, the best way in, say, a school or a crowded area to keep people safe, keep the virus out. And one of the best ways to make sure people don't have the virus is to keep them vaccinated. It's not perfect, as we well know, but, you know, the chance of having the virus after you've been vaccinated at breakthrough infections is about 5 or 2 per 1,000 people. So it's a pretty good indicator.
That's a very, very good indicator. Doctor, as it stands now, 52% of the total U.S. population is now fully vaccinated. I guess, what does that number need to get to in order to return to quote unquote life as normal or really get to the other side of this pandemic? Do we have a better sense of what that number needs to look like?
Well, it's up over 70, probably over 80, and maybe as high as 85%. And, you know, the current path of encouraging people, begging people, it has sort of sputtered. We've got more vaccinations, but a lot of those vaccinations are people already getting their third vaccine, not waiting to September 20th. We are seeing a decline in the polling of people who are absolutely opposed, I'll never get it, or I'm most likely not get it. That has dropped from 30% several months ago to about 14 to 20% in polls, depending upon the poll you're looking at. So that's a positive sign. And it does look like the Delta spread and these dire situations that we've seen in some southern states like Louisiana and Florida has spurred people to be more open about the vaccine. And I think that's a good thing. One of the things I personally would like to see is more mandates around high school students. 12 to 18-year-olds, I think we should mandate it. We have very low uptake in that group. The 12 to 15-year-olds, it's only 35% have been vaccinated. We really need to boost that group a lot.
Speaking of those mandates, that's something that really has been left to the state level. And I wonder from your perch, as having previously been part of the administration's advisory panel, looking at, you know, how the optics of the White House coming out with that September 20th deadline for boosters or the additional dose, and just in general, the way that things have been progressing, there have been recently some reports that make comparisons to the way that the Trump administration was run and how the White House had a lot of say in how things were run then. What do you make of those comparisons?
Oh, I don't think they're accurate at all. You know, when President Trump was running the briefings and suggesting things like hydroxychloroquine or bleach, you know, that was just totally irresponsible. This is a much, much more data-driven team. They don't make decisions casually. I've been in discussions with them. They are looking at data from England, data from Israel, data from the United States, and looking at how well, you know, how much the immunity is waning, how much better people do when they get this third shot. This is very data driven. Even if you have a White House weighing in on some of these decisions, it's not like, you know, you have people who aren't scientists, Tony Fauci there or Vivek Murthy at the Surgeon General. These are people who really know their scientists, their physicians. They know what they're looking at in terms of analyzing data of studies. This is nowhere comparable to the Trump administration. Whoever suggests that just is not looking at the briefings, is not looking at the rigor by which this administration is making decisions. That's nonsense.
Dr. Emanuel, before we let you go, I want to get your thoughts just on the surge that we've seen in pediatric cases, because kids under the age of 12, obviously, they're not eligible for a vaccine yet. So my question is then, what should parents be doing? What should caregivers be doing in the meantime? Because we're seeing more and more kids of that age group come down and get infected by the virus.
Well, that is a really good question. And I think we need to be very careful. You know, what I would like to see is schools require all teachers and staff to be vaccinated. Obviously, you have a medical exception, that you have good air ventilation in the schools, HEPA filters where you haven't been able to increase the filtration to MERV 13. You have children wearing masks in class and spreading them out doors, maybe eating outdoors to the extent that we can during the fall. I think those are the kind of measures we need to be taking. And where you can pod students and not create lots of interaction among different classes, different age groups, do that as well. those are the kind of measures that are going to be necessary to keep schools open and to keep them as safe indications. The other thing I would say is, you know, masking is important. Wearing a good mask and a high quality mask and not, you know, just a trivial mask is also very, very important. This is another place where some of the states like Texas and Florida have not been progressive. We know that wearing a mask when you're with other students is going to be really, really important. I teach at the University of Pennsylvania. I've had 2 days of classes. We've passed out N95 masks for our students to wear. And I think it's very important if you're sitting right next to other students, I'm lecturing, I wear an N95 mask when I lecture. Very, very important to keep people safe.